Psalm 140, verse 13, introduces us to this subject. Surely the righteous shall give thanks unto thy name, the upright shall dwell in thy presence. Let's have a word of prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you that it is full of precious promises, and we thank you, Lord, that you are able to give us understanding of your word and to encourage us at different times and in different ways. Lord, we thank you that there is much in your word that we can rely upon, promises that we can hold to in times of trouble. And Lord, we thank you that you are present with us and we can dwell in thy presence. Lord, we ask that you would meet with us during this hour and that our attention would truly be fixed on you. Amen. So our topic this evening is dwelling in God's presence. Dwelling in his presence. There are a number of passages throughout the Bible that tell us not only of a future home where we will dwell in his presence, but also of the current state of dwelling in the presence of God that each one of us can enter into, participate in, even today. Here we have dwelling in God's presence being the aim of David, but also he says here that it is the result of walking uprightly with God. This is how we can dwell in the presence of God. It is not by works that we dwell in presence. We will see that as we go, but it is a promise. Notice there it says, shall dwell in thy presence. It's not might dwell in thy presence, but shall. Walking uprightly, being righteous before God, we have the assurance of dwelling in God's presence. We can know it. We can experience it. We can live in it. If we go now to Revelation 21, we're going to see the final dwelling in the presence of God. Oh, that's not Revelation. Revelation 21. And we'll just read the first four or five verses here. Yeah, four verses. Revelation 21, and I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for a husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. Often in this passage we focus on the newness of the new heaven, or the newness of the new Jerusalem, how it's different, how it's beautiful, how God is the one who's provided it, built it, prepared it, brought it down to earth. All of these things we might focus on. But I want us to look at verse 3 and zero in on the voice that came out of heaven. Revelation 21, verse 3, the voice that comes out of heaven, what does it say? Does it say, and all this beautiful Jerusalem? Does it say, and this new heaven and earth that's been created? No, it focuses in on our God. It says, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he, that is God, will dwell with them. Notice the presence of God. Dwelling implies that he is taking up residence. He has moved in. He is the neighbor, the tenant. He is the friend. He is belongs there now because he has come to dwell with them. He then describes how the people will be his people, and then he again reiterates that God himself shall be with them. In case you didn't get it the first time, God will be with them. This is God's promise. Yes, God will be their God. Yes, God will make a new heaven and a new earth and a new Jerusalem, and all of these things are beautiful and wonderful. But what is it that makes it personal to you and to I is that God will dwell with us. He will be there with us. It is his presence. It is the relationship that we will continue to have with him throughout eternity. That is the greatest pleasure, the greatest joy, the greatest provision. In fact, verse 4, where we have tears being wiped away and all of that, notice that it is God who's wiping away the tears. If God's presence were to leave us, if he was not dwelling but only came to visit, then he would wipe our tears away and they might have chance to come back. But there is no chance for tears to come back to our eyes because God will be with them. His people, he will be with them. And so there will be no more tears because he will wipe away their tears now and forever. His very presence secures a tearless, sorrowless state. No pain, no suffering. It is all done away with. This is what it means to dwell with God. If we have God's presence with us, then we can rely upon him to help us. To help us with all of those things that we struggle with. God with us is the promise of heaven. To underline this in John chapter 14, and really you could take this whole chapter, John 14, but we'll just pick out a few verses. But you could take almost the whole chapter and describe how it is that dwelling with God is the promise of heaven. Heaven is not so much a place as it is a person that we will be with. Wherever Jesus is, if we are there, then we are in heaven. John 14, we'll read verses 1 through 3. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. This is the heart of the promise. The heart of the promise is not about the mansions. If the promise was about the mansions, then Jesus would have described the mansions in great detail. The heart of the promise is the person who is preparing a place for us. It is the person of Christ himself. He describes for us that he will be preparing a place. It is not the place that makes it amazing, although it will be amazing. It'll be perfect. No shoddy builders, no inspections that went awry, no leaky roofs. It will be an amazing place prepared. But it is the person who is doing the preparing for us. And it is the person who will come and receive us unto himself that we should be focused on. And then that promise, where I am, there ye may be also. Yes, Jesus is preparing a place for us. But that is so that we will have access to him. That we can dwell with him. You don't need a room or a house if you are not planning to stay somewhere. You can have a temporary spot, like a tent. Some people like tents. Or a caravan, where you can live temporarily. You could even drive to some place, visit for a while, and then go back to your home if you are visiting someone. But if they prepare a place for you, they intend for you to dwell with them. They intend to enjoy your fellowship and a relationship with you. It is not about the place. It is about the friendship that will be able to be maintained if we are right with Jesus. I don't know about you, but here on this earth we get distracted. We see the things going on around us, whether it's, you know, politicians making decisions or people doing wicked and horrible things all around us, or people who are doing things in business, and we get our attention focused on all different kinds of things. How good would it be if we were in a place where we could focus upon Christ to the exclusion of all else? How wonderful that would be to be able to see Him face to face, to sit down with Him and have a cup of tea or share a meal, to be next to them when we receive that news that is damaging or hurtful, and then immediately we are there with Him. We are not needing to go and to find Him. We are not needing to call Him up. We just immediately are face to face with Him because He dwells with us. Now, I'm not saying that in heaven we're going to face lots of sorrows or troubles. As far as I can see it, we will be fully engaged in singing and praising God for all of eternity. So I don't know how much trouble that will cause us, but we will have the solution regardless, which is our Savior in our presence. If you'll turn with me a few verses down to verse 23, Jesus once again comes to abiding with Him. And we don't have enough time to go through all the verses in John that deal with abiding in Christ. In fact, in chapter 15, abiding in the vine, and the vine abides in us, and we have much fruit, like goes on at length about abiding in Christ. But here in John chapter 14 and verse 23, we read this: "If a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode." We'll dwell with Him. We'll make our abode with Him. This is Jesus' promise if we love Him and keep His words. If we have found the love of the Father, He will come and make His abode with us. That is, He will live with us. We want to dwell with Christ. We want to dwell with Him. We want to live with Him. He alone can heal all of our sorrows. And yes, we look forward to that in the future, but even today, we have promise of God living in us. We are told that the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, was sent that He might tell us all things of Christ. His very name, Paraclete, the Comforter. God with us means us comforted today, not just in heaven, not just at the end of all of our troubles, but now. We can have Christ dwelling with us even today. In the book of Psalms, and we'll be in the book of Psalms for the rest of this message, we have a few different chapters where we find David describing to us how much he loves God, and how much he wants to stay with God, and how much he loves being in God's presence, and how much he loves the house of God. In Psalm 84, we have the psalm about the tabernacle of God. And here in Psalm 84, verse 1, he says, "How amiable or lovely are thy tabernacles, O Lord of hosts. My soul longeth, yea, fainteth, for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh crieth out for the living God." Then he gives us a picture. "Yea, the sparrow hath found her an house, and the swallow a nest for herself, where she may lay her young, even thine altars, O Lord of hosts, my King and my God. Blessed are they that dwell in thy house. They will be still praising thee, Selah." We have David crying out, "How wonderful are thy tabernacles, the place where I can meet with, where I can live in your presence, O Lord." And then he describes the longing of his heart. "My soul longeth for the courts of the Lord." He cries out for the living God. This is his desire. This is his aim. The picture, though, is one that has caught many people's attention. In fact, there's whole songs just based off of this psalm that have been written. I won't sing them for you tonight. But the sparrow hath found an house, and the swallow a nest where she may lay her young, even thine altars, O Lord of hosts, my King and my God. David is jealous in this two verses of little birds. Now I want us to consider David at this moment for just a moment. David, he was one who wanted to build the tabernacle, the temple of God, and was told no. David was told, "No, you cannot build it." And the tabernacle was a place that he could go to. Yet there were times when the Ark of the Covenant wasn't there during David's reign. And yet his cry was for jealousy of these birds who got to be in the presence of the altar of God, to be sitting near where God's presence could be seen, the cloud of pillar that was signifying God's presence, and the birds were able to be there. And he says, "I'm jealous of those. I'm jealous of the swallow and the sparrow who are able to nest near your altar. They're able to be inside the courtyard of the tabernacle all the time. They're able to be, as it were, close to God." Notice he says, "Blessed are they that dwell in thy house." Dwell in thy house. Birds, they fly around. They make their nest wherever it is convenient and safe. Here these birds have made a nest near the altars of God. They are inside the courtyard. They are able to be in the presence of those who are offering up their sacrifices, not only of guilt offerings, not only of sin offerings, but also of offerings of praise unto God, the first fruits, and offerings of blessing to God for all the good that He has done. And they're able to hear the prayers that are made to God in that place. And how blessed they are to be there. I don't know if you've ever thought about birds. Birds sing. Sometimes it's annoying. I don't know if you've ever found that. If you get a particularly annoying bird that will wake up just that little bit too early, and they like sitting just outside your window, and that will wake you up quicker than anything else, a bird chirping away. Here these birds are singing praises to God, and they are singing praises to God morning, evening, at all times. Whenever they feel like it, they are able to sing in God's presence. And we one day will be able to be in the house of God in heaven. We will be there and God will be dwelling with us, and we will be dwelling in His house. and we will be able to sing praises to Him at any moment. Morning, evening, doesn't matter. At all times, we'll be ready to sing praises to our God. I want us to notice that the swallow and the sparrow in verse 3, they have found a secure place to build their nest. A secure place, a safe place. If we are dwelling with God, we are dwelling in a safe and secure place. God alone secures us, and so we can rest in Him. Our God wants us to dwell with Him. This whole psalm could be used to point to our God and how we dwell with Him, but we'll jump down now to verse 9 and look at the last stanza of this psalm. Behold, O God, our shield, and look upon the face of Thine anointed, for a day in Thy courts is better than 1,000. I had rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to dwell in the tents of wickedness. For the Lord God is a sun and a shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will He withhold from them that walk uprightly. Once again, we see dwelling in the courts of the Lord is something that is reserved for those who walk uprightly. Then finally in verse 12, O Lord of hosts, blessed is the man that trusteth in Thee. Trusting in God is to dwell with Him. And if we trust in Him and walk uprightly, He will dwell with us. He will dwell in us. There is much that we could say on this stanza, how much better it is to dwell with God for even one day and then to die than it is to have 1,000 days spent in whatever our own pursuits would be. I think of the man who died on that cross next to Christ and how Jesus said, today you shall be with me in paradise, and how he only had moments, maybe hours, to live with God before he died. And yet, do you think he would turn any of that and say, I don't want it. It was no good. No, it was better than 1,000 more days. If he had been offered 1,000 days of life instead of hanging on that cross before he met Jesus, he might have said, yes, I'll take the 1,000 days, thank you very much. 3 more years, perfect, roughly. 1,000 more days of life, that'd be great. Yet, when he was there on that cross and Christ accepted him and offered to him that deliverance, that salvation, he accepted it because it was worth so much more than 1,000 days. 1,000 days, a day in thy court is better than 1,000. And then that statement that many have quoted, I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to dwell in the tents of wickedness. Dwelling with God does not mean being the pampered and elevated person at the table. It doesn't mean that we will be seated at the best seat. I don't think there are a bad seat in God's house, but that we don't need that. If we can just be inside the door, welcoming people like a person who's greeting or checking bags at Big W, if we had that much of an opportunity to dwell with God, how much better than to have many tents, to have wealth untold, and to dwell with wickedness. Dwelling with God is worth so much more, even if all we've got is to sit at the footstool of Christ, than to dwell with all the riches and to have wickedness. Our God is good, and He wants to dwell with us. We can trust in God. In verse 11, just so you notice there, it tells us that God is someone who can be trusted. He is a sun and a shield, and He gives grace and glory. This is the goodness of our God. He protects us. He shelters us. He dwells with us. He allows us to dwell with Him. He promises us an eternal home with Him, that He will never reject us. You know, that's kind of comforting. I don't know about you. Sometimes my wife says I'm hard to get along with. Occasionally. Occasionally. None of us have ever been perfectly easy to get along with. We go through troubles or trials and we do not react in the best way. But it is so good to know that God will not get 1,100 years into eternity and then say, you know what? I made a mistake. I don't actually like you that much. Nor do we have to worry about God saying, oh, well, that's too much. That you've offended me one too many times. He has promised He will dwell with us in His house. And He has prepared a place, an everlasting place at His side, not a temporary place. We can rely upon our welcome with Him. If you go briefly with me now to Psalm 27 and verse 4. And this should be our cry as well. It's just being repeated again. Another Psalm of David. Psalm 27 verse 4. One thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord, and to inquire in His temple. This is during this lifetime. David had one desire that overshadowed all else. And he sought after it, to dwell in the house of the Lord every day, all the days of my life, and to behold the beauty of the Lord. This was his intention, his hope, his joy. David wanted to spend time with God and dwell with Him here on this earth. What about you? In Psalm 23, and we can all quote this one very easily, the shepherd psalm, the Lord is my shepherd, and we won't go through the whole song. We want to just look at the last verse, verse 6. He finishes up the shepherd's psalm by saying, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. David's hope was not that he would have eternal life, but that he would have an eternal place with God, that he would dwell with God forever. David did not look forward to a heavenly home. He looked forward to living with God. He looked forward to being in God's house forever. This was David's hope and aim. And this should be ours as well. Are you ready to dwell in the house of the Lord forever? Or does the thought of spending that much time with anyone, particularly God, scare us? We should be thrilled to dwell with God. We should be encouraged because there's so many precious promises around it. And yet, we know our own hearts. We know that we are full of that which is not good. How can God want to dwell with me? How can I ever expect that I would be able to dwell with God forever? It is only because of God's mercy. It is only because He is wonderful. It is only because our God is good that we can dwell with Him now and in eternity. This is why, of all people, Christians should actually be the happiest. Notice I didn't say most joyful. I said happiest. We should not walk around with a silly grin on our face all the time, but we should be happy. We should be joyful because we have the privilege of dwelling with our God today. And we have the promise of dwelling with Him through eternity. What can get us down? How can we fail to be joyful? How can we fail to be happy if we are in God's presence? I think for many of us, the reason we struggle with being joyful is because we struggle to dwell with God. We struggle to put Him first. We struggle to seek after Him. We find ourselves winding our way into a house of wickedness over here, or falling down the path over this direction and standing with the scorners and the sinful. We find ourselves not walking uprightly, not looking to God, but instead doing our own thing, busy about this life instead of busy about our God, instead of dwelling with Him. This, then, is our promise. We can dwell in the house of our God today. We can seek for that today. And we have the promise to dwell with Him in eternity. Are you ready? Let's close with a word of prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your word, and we thank You that You have promised to us that if we will walk uprightly, if we have found righteousness, that we will dwell with You. Not just today, not just temporarily, but throughout eternity. Lord, we ask that You would truly be our dwelling place in this generation as well as in the future. Lord, may we seek for You and find You. May we make our abode with You instead of treating You as a visitor who is welcome, but only for a season. Lord, we ask that You would work in our hearts that we would love You more. And we pray these things that You would keep us through the week. Amen.